Blog Talk Radio.
Church of the Firstborn. This is Pernell Hewing coming to you from Whitewater, Wisconsin, and we are believing that the Spirit of the Lord has assigned us a mandate that we come to you and open up the airwaves, that the Spirit of the Lord can come where you are, that let God arise where you are, and let the enemies be scattered, and he will speak peace to you. And I want to believe that even that that word from the Lord is so precious for us right now, because we really don't realize what it means when the Spirit of the Lord is wherever you are, when the word of the Lord has been spoken into the atmosphere where you are. And I believe it's not just for as you listen to this program, but even as you go about your duties during the next few days, when we're even not on the air, those that are committed and that listen, that the Spirit of the Lord will be with you, that the Lord will arise in all of your affairs, in everything that you do, and let your enemies be scattered. I was thinking about that the other day, and I think that will happen if we give God the time to come into everything we do. For example, we tend to move into things forgetting that God knows best, and especially those things that we are so well prepared to do. One of the things I believe God wants us is to keep moving into deeper depths and higher heights, and keep moving it beyond where we are. I think our walk with the Lord is like when you exercising for your body and their fitness. They always tell you, the trainers always tell you to push yourself beyond a certain point. After you've reached that goal, then maybe if you can go 10 minutes on the treadmill, let's try it, go 15 minutes the next time until you can reach that 30 minute. So if we just stay for 10 minutes and never try to go beyond 10, then we will not be pressing against that which we don't want to. We have to press against ourselves, really. And I think the Lord wants us to do the same thing. And so I think one of the ways that we can do that is everything that we do, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. And, you know, if you think about that, the enemy sometimes may be the mindsets we have. We might know how to do something so well that we think we'll just do it automatically. But if God arises in that, and he began to give you maybe a better way, a quicker way, or give you another way to do it, you have moved beyond what you know into what you don't know. And listen, I'm just going to stay with that for a little while. Let God arise. And let's to make a commitment that we're going to let God arise in everything that we do and let our enemies be scattered. My enemy, in most instances, may be a mindset. It may be a way that I do things. It may seem very easy for me to do it that way, but if I let the Lord arise in it at that moment and the enemies be scattered, the enemy may be my thoughts about it, and that's the way that I've done it all along. God has want me to go different way, which might be a better way. I've never thought of that way, but it is a better way when he gives it to me. And sometimes you'll say, but I never thought of it that way. What you're saying is all of a sudden the Holy Spirit has shown you something that you didn't know before. I have this policy, and I believe it's a good one. I don't ever want to keep doing the same thing the same way every day. I don't want my walk to be with the Lord at the same level it is today as it is should be tomorrow. I believe that if I move in deeper with the Lord today than I am, then I will push against something that I can't do so that I can begin to do some things that I can't do. And I believe that in this place where I pushed into, God by His Spirit is there, and He will then give me whatever is for that particular place. And I believe one of the things about our walk with God sometimes is we tend to acquire, or we tend to get to a place where we can, I call it coast along, because this is the way we do things, this is the way we pray, this is the way we sing, and we never come against anything that would pull us out of our comfort zone. I was in a meeting on yesterday, and we began to talk about how the enemy showed up in another meeting, and all of a sudden it appeared to be a surprise. But I think one of the best ways that will push us out of our comfort zone or out of that place that's familiar to us is for the enemy to show up. I think two things need to happen for us in the church that we can move with God in that prophetic movement where He's taking us toward glory. And that is that the King of Kings shows up, because when He shows up, He is King of Kings, He's Lord of Lords, and the way that we do things will seem as though it is an empty vessel of order, and He will push us into, or carry us, not just push us, He's going to be moving into a place we've never been before, He'll be doing things we've never done before, and all of a sudden He'll leave in the wake, hopefully and prayerfully, that desire to do that thing. I believe He's going to come into the body of Christ, and He's going to be doing some things. I remember I always refer to books I've written. One of the books I've written is The New Sound of Lion. And if you open that book, and it's not a very small, large book, I started writing it when people were talking about there's a new sound coming to the earth. And they oftentimes at that time, they were referring to a sound of music, a sound in music, or a sound in singing. And as I began to write that book, the Lord began to talk to me about the call to move into a different place. And as we went through, and the book is available now, if you read it, we would go through chapter. Each chapter would bring us into another place. And so it was not just a sound that music was going to bring, but the sound, as we talked about it, would open up the way for the Lord to come in and move things. Just to refer to a few things specific, it talked about in worship there would be a new note struck on the keyboard that had never been struck before, and with that note being struck, then the Lord would show up and do wonders in the midst, and there would be a new dance, and one dancing before the Lord, and the Lord would come in right through that dance, and of course do wonders to open the way for the healing or whatever was needed. And there would be so many ways that the Lord would show up, but the new sound really would be a sound of intercessory repentance going up to the heaven, and it would be a sound that could not be duplicated, and would be a sound that only those who really had the heart of God would send up, and that would open the heavens, and then the Lord would come down and bring His sound, and it would be a sound that only one could hear who had been open to receive that sound. And of course, when we think about that, and in looking at that, then it would be moving you from one place to the other. Move, there would be a song of the Lord given that was never sung before, and that would open the way for the king to come. And then there would be a dance, and there would be a key, and all these things would happen, and it wasn't, it couldn't be duplicated, it couldn't be sold. It would just be the Spirit of the Lord moving in the church, but it wasn't the sound, it wasn't the dance, it wasn't the note. It was opening the way for the Lord to come in, and that's where he would be moving us to another place that we've never been before. I think when that happens, it takes us out of this place where we have learned how to minister, we've learned how to activate the Spirit of the living God, we've learned how to make the same sound that others make, and then, of course, the next place, that means then that you won't be learning, because the movement of God would take you into a movement that you will be moved into a place you've never been before, and you would be experiencing that which you've never experienced before. And then, of course, as we talked on yesterday, the other movement would come when Satan shows up at your doorstep and you've never confronted a satanic spirit before, and have a spirit that has much power, and a spirit that all the things you know to do isn't working, then you're going to then have to come to the Spirit of the Lord, and he's going to have to take you beyond what you know and what you do, so that, and I believe that's what Christianity is all about. I believe that's the only way we grow in Christianity, that we move from one level to the other, and we never get satisfied. I believe God sends his church is a living organism, and that himself is life and light to the church. I think that is what he expects of us. For example, I remember the Lord saying to me one time, and we were working to establish the ministry in the sanctuary, and he said to me, I want you to stay out of the office for a while, and then I want you to do something else. Well, office work to me was like breathing. I remember I come up in that. I have a degree in office administration. I've taught secretaries. I've worked in offices. I have a background in business education and office administration and management and in marketing. So it was easy for me to go into an office and open up a computer and sit there for hours. It was easy for me to go into an office and organize it and organize files and organize folders, because it's like breathing. I didn't have to think. I could just do it because I had years of training. And he said, no, I don't want you there. I want you to get into something that you can't do. Because when you get into something you can't do automatically, that's not like breathing, then what you're going to do, you're going to think. And when you go into think, then you're going to call on me for help, because you can't do it as easy as you can. And so my word to you tonight is, let us make a decision that we're going to move from glory to glory, that we're going to move with God, and we're going to move in every aspect of our lives, in everything that we do. I don't know how I got on this, but we haven't even opened up yet. I haven't given Prophet Dean a chance to sing, but I'm going to stay for a little while, because maybe I'm saying it to someone out there who want to make this decision that the Lord is going to come in and teach you his way. It is the best way. Once he teaches you, it then becomes life and light. It has an anointing on it. I can give you some other examples. When I first started decorating the sanctuary, I could not even buy a lamp, a lampshade, that someone would say, this is the right one for the sanctuary, this is the right one for this room, because I didn't have the talent, I didn't have the skill, I knew nothing about decorating, and the Lord for years made me choose every item, made me put every item in place. That was long before but Dr. Lee came along, who can do it effortlessly now. And what he said to me was, because what he sees as beauty and order, it starts with him. And since I did not know what that was, I had to hear from him in every aspect as I moved along. I could not buy a lamp unless he directed me to buy that lamp. I couldn't buy a comfort. And then what would happen, once he chose it and I took it and put it in, it was almost like it was there all the time and it should be there. But because I didn't know, I had to hear what the Spirit of the Lord was saying, and then I had to listen carefully to what he was saying to me to do with it. And he literally taught me how to decorate the sanctuary. You see it now. You'll see Pastor Lee has been there, and she's put her beautiful talent to work. But before she came along, I had that. And even as we, those of you that come now, one of the blessings she has always been, even when she puts everything in place and is just like right because she knows how to do it, she will call me in, and I will have a look at it, and God will show me something that only he sees that he wants me to know that he is in everything we do. And well, thank God for her. She's one of the few people that will flow with you as she does with me. And she might have said, I don't know why she changed that. That looked good to me. But she never says anything but just flow right along with making the change. Now when people come into the room, those of you who've never been there, you'll be blessed if you do come. It's almost like things are there effortless. It's almost like they were put there, you know, and it should be there, and there's no reason for you to change it around. But that isn't done because we operate by knowing. It's done because the Lord has chosen everything to be in the right place, even the tissue boxes, even the wastebasket. If you ever come in and just watch, every item in there is strategically placed and specifically chosen by God. I want to give you another example. I don't know why I'm saying this. I'm saying it because I think we need to come back to a place and let the Lord teach our hands to war. Everything we do in preparing God's, as we Christians, it's wartime. It means that we press against the enemy to bring God into it. We press against our own wisdom and knowledge to bring him into it. Because when we bring him in and he teaches us how to put a room together, how to put a flower in place, when he does that, there's an anointing that comes on it and the blessings of God flows out from it. We've had people in earlier years to come into each one of our rooms being named, and what at one time was called the living room of the sanctuary, it has now become the garden. And we began, and in putting it together, there's beautiful flowers all around. And so some would come in and say, there's too many flowers. And I would, and some would even want to take them out. But God put them in there because he loves flowers. He loves beauty. And everyone, it just makes you feel like you are in a garden when you come into that particular room. We've named it his In the Garden with the Risen Savior. And so once we got it all set up, then he began to give us the songs about it, the scriptures about it. And I wrote a book in the garden that he said is a book for that room. And so what I'm saying to you is everything we do, when the Lord puts his hand into it, it becomes anointed. And that was what happened in the sanctuary as we put it together. Many years ago, we have some of the older saints that had been coming for a long time. If they will remember, there was a time when we used to fix meals for anyone who came in. We would have breakfasts where we all would sit at the table and eat together, and then we would have lunch together, and then we'd have supper together, and then early Sunday morning I'd get up and I'd fix another breakfast. And you have to remember, starting this, I really was not a cook. I had two children, so I would put food on the table for them, but to prepare a meal for 25, 30 people and to prepare them and set the table as though it is one of the finest restaurants in the country, because he said to me, I don't want my people eating off of paper plates and drinking off of styrofoams. I want this, and this is to set up the master's table dining room. He literally taught how every aspect of cooking, so much so until when I would go in the kitchen to cook, and I still am there, I do not cook effortless. I had to be guided by the Spirit. And there was I used to make an oatmeal for breakfast, and most people who didn't eat oatmeal will come back now and ask me for that oatmeal. I don't know what was in it, but he taught me how to fix that oatmeal. He taught me so many other things to cook until it came to the point where every meal that I cooked, Jesus was in it. And people who were there years ago would come back and ask me for my meal in a pot. I named it because I didn't really know how to cook, but in that kitchen, when I go in to cook, I didn't want anyone in there. I didn't want anyone talking to me. I had a great battle in keeping people out of the kitchen while you're cooking because for some reason people just gravitate there. Because I had to hear what the Spirit of the Lord was saying. And so I'm saying to you, this program has been saying this for years. I guess the Lord just want me to bring it into common things that we do. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and for the church, and listen to what he's saying to you. And listen with the intent that you're going to do it. Many of you know how to cook, and you cook well. What happens if the Lord assigns you to cook for his people? He told me I needed to learn how to cook. I did not really grow up clean, and you have to remember I came through an era where I battled for an education, and so I didn't cook a lot, I didn't clean a lot, but I studied hard. And so what he taught me is that when I came to the sanctuary, he said, take off your professorial suit. I was a professor. Put your briefcase in the corner and clean this place. So I had to pick up a broom and a mop, and I cleaned for a couple of years, 30 rooms, washing, scrubbing. During the week, I would prepare everything, and then I would weekend. Then I'd spend the weekend ministering and cooking and serving the people. So, but I want to tell you something. That was not me. The reason it was me, I had a PhD degree in business, and I got that degree to teach business communication and to teach teachers how to do this. I had never thought of this being my way. What am I saying to you tonight, saints? What I'm saying is, regardless to what your call is, regardless to what you do, some people think that because I don't have an education, or because I have reached a certain age, or because I can't do this, they think that they can't do certain things. I am giving you a word tonight that I want you to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. He is saying to you and to me, I want to come in to everything that you do. I want to come in because I want to train you in the Spirit, by the Spirit, and through the Spirit. And even the things that you know and that's easy for you, I want to come in and put my Spirit in it. I had one desire, one color that I really liked, and it was burnt orange. That's my favorite color. And when I decorated the sanctuary for 25 years, he never allowed me to put one stitch of burnt orange in. I just followed his lead, and I didn't realize that I never touched burnt orange. I still love burnt orange. When I built my house, I filled it with burnt orange. He allowed me to do that. And so what I'm saying to you, there's something going on that the Lord is calling us all back to him for every idea that we have. Let him fill it up with his Spirit. Let him tell us what to do, and we do that, then he'll do what we can't do. We have lost so much of time. I have doing what I know to do well and leaving undone the things that God wanted to push me into, and I think that's what I'm saying. When he literally taught me how to clean. He literally taught me how to cook, so much so that I can walk in the kitchen if someone is preparing for our groups now. I can tell you whether they have enough in the pot or whether they don't have enough in the pot. I can tell you what's missing and what should be there, because buried inside of me were those years that I pushed past that inability to give attention to cooking and food. I never gave attention to it. I ate food, and I'm not a fan of food. I can eat anything, and it'll serve my purpose. It serves my body. I'll eat that which is good for my body. Taste doesn't bother me because food isn't my major thing. I think it's good for people who enjoy food. It's good to enjoy food. I just eat food. And so the Lord is bringing us out of ourselves into him. And I think that's what he's saying. And unless we allow ourselves to be moved from what we know into what he knows that he has ordained for us to be, we will never, ever fulfill our divine purpose on earth. nor our eternal purpose. And I think the Lord is calling us into eternal purpose. We get rather happy and proud, I would say, of the things that we can do well, okay? I write pretty good, but I'll tell you one thing. I can't write a book until the Lord sets me in place with him to write it. As well as I write, and I say I write well because I'm a trained writer, I say I'm trained for this reason. I spent years in journalism. I spent years in business communication. I spent years in being prepared to write. My undergraduate degree gave us a good foundation. But I can't write a book unless God has put me in position. As a matter of fact, I have about 5 books on the drawing board right now that I need to finish. But God has not given me and what I mean by not giving me, I can't do it. If I sit, I may wake up one morning at 3:00 in the morning, and he will sit me at my computer, and I can write a book. I wrote the Zion book in 24 hours. I do a lot of editing after that. Sometimes I don't do much editing. Depends upon how well I listen to the Spirit of the Lord. So what am I saying? Let God arise, and let his enemies be scattered. You see, you have an enemy. We all have an arch enemy, and that enemy is always wanting us not to allow the Spirit of the Lord in our lives. That's why we worship intellect. We worship the fact that we're smart. We worship the fact that we're intelligent. We worship the fact that we can think, okay? Now, I'm all of those things, but I know that I can only do what the Spirit of the Lord is doing. We worship the fact that we're independent. We worship the fact that we can do it. The Lord wants us to worship him. And when he teaches you how to buy something to fit into a corner and you bring it home and it fits right there, the price is good. And that was the other thing that's so wonderful is that when he was training me, he taught me how to shop for the things that was needed in the sanctuary, or he would find just the right thing at the right time. Had I known how to do that, I probably would have gone to the store looking for it. But it was only when he would send me and say, I want this to be completed. I want this room to have this, and I want you. And when I would go there, the price would be right, and oftentimes I'd never see another one like it. What I'm saying tonight, as Derek's opened up with us, let us take this position that we are born of the Spirit, and born of the Spirit, that the Spirit of the Lord, who is Jesus Christ, God Almighty, he is life and light to us, and he lighteth every man that cometh in the world. He wants to be Lord. He wants to be Lord of our lives. We can be Christians for so long until we are the Lord of Christianity, or we're the Lord of the Spirit. That is, we worship the Spirit because we know how to navigate in the Spirit and through the Spirit. We don't need the guidance of the Holy Spirit, who will guide us to do it this way, and we do it in such a way that we are established in it. In recent months, the Lord has given me to go back and pull out another weapon to bring the church into its resting place in the kingdom. He gave it to us at the Church of the Firstborn when we first began, and that was prayer veils instead of the tallit, the prayer shawls. He began to show us how to make veils that they were called intercessory prayer veils that we would come in under and begin to pray and began to intercede and began to travail, because what we were doing, we were birthing ourselves out of this place where we had come in to be somewhat settled, and birthing ourselves into a higher level with him, and then birthing in the ministry. Now he's given me to bring the prayer veils back, and they're all for the ministry that he has established in the sanctuary, and that is there. He wants people to come under them, and as they began to pray through the ministry of those rooms that they've been in to make that ministry theirs. They birth it in through those prayer veils. I'm not going to say much about that, but anyone coming to the sanctuary, you'll get a great lesson on that to see the power of the Spirit. Now, what happens, we tend to hear of what the Lord is saying, and we take it and make it ours. So many people have come to the sanctuary, and they love the work of the ministry. They take the book, and they'll go home, and they'll try to do it. Very seldom do we hear from them again. And the anointing for the purpose of that book and the power of that book is in me. We started an independent study then because many people couldn't come back, but they could keep connection to me, and that way I could help them birth that. The purpose, not just the act of the ministry, because it's now time for the purpose to come forth, and the purpose is in the heart of God, and He's planted in my spirit, and I can bring people out into that. And so what am I saying? It is time for us to stop being a know-it-all. We know this. We know how to do this. And we leave God out. We don't consult Him. We don't allow Him to come in and lead us. The Holy Spirit is our guide. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide us into all truth, for He will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He hear, that shall He say. And so we neglect the Holy Spirit, which came as Jesus Christ shed His blood on the cross. We neglect the power of Jesus Himself coming into our life. Jesus Christ is light and life, and He lighteth every man who cometh into the world. We become our own gods. And believe it or not, we're full of it. We're full of what we know. We're full of who we are. We're full of what we've learned. And we are so full of the experience that we've had with God, and how God told me this, and how God said this, and how God did this, and how God did that. And so that's great. Where is He in these everyday ordinary things that you do? That's how you get to know Him. I got to know my husband by spending time with them. I got to know them by asking them questions. I got to know them by hearing them. I got to know them by their giving me directions in doing things that help me to know them better. But when we leave God out and leave Him there to hear about Him, we miss then the move to the next place. We will stay in the place we are as long as we can. Well, I don't know what that was all about, but I believe someone got something out of that. I'm back. We are the Universal Kingdom Church of the Firstborn, and we are going through the book of Matthew, precept upon precept. So what does that have to do with the book of Matthew? We have come all the way through to chapter 8. And I think what happened, one of the things, I was going back through the book of Matthew, and I was working with chapter 8, and the Lord began to take me back into chapter 4 at one place, chapter 5 at one place, chapter 6 at one place, chapter 7. And what He was saying to me, I read that, I entered into portions of it, but there were portions He wanted me to look and see how did that manifest and what I needed Him to do now, what I was doing, even in the portion of the scripture that said, ask and ye shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be opened. And you can read that as generality, but He said, I want you to make that very practical. What are you asking me for? And, of course, if you're having a financial restraint, you'll ask Him for the money for that. But then He said, now you have to seek me because I know more about that need than you do. It's easy for you to ask me and expect me just to give it to you. But first of all, what are you going to do with it? Well, I'm going to pay this bill, and I need to pay that bill. And then He said, well, maybe you need to write down what bills you owe, because maybe you think about just that bill, there may be another one you haven't paid, or there may be another one I'll have you to pay up front. So instead of just asking, you need, I just know that I'm going to give it to you, but you also need to seek me. And as you seek me, I'm going to tell you what to do. As He said to me, what I'm going to tell you to do is I want you to write down everything that you owe. I want you to organize it. I want you to show, He began to show me certain things to do with it. And in seeking Him, I never would have done it, gone to that extent. Then he said, a knock and the door will be open. So now that I've asked, and he has promised, and now that he began to seek him, he began to show me what to do and show me what I needed to do so that I would know what to ask for and what I was asking for and what I was going to do with it. Now he said, now you begin to knock on my door to see that I open it up to you. It's already yours, but there's some things that you have to know to open it up to you. And so now I'm in the process of doing that. So that's what he was saying to me, that when you read the scriptures, and it's one thing to say, ask and ye shall be, it shall be given, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be open, but it's another thing to make it practical for you. What are you asking for, and why are you asking for it, and should you ask for it? And so as I began to come in closer, I may be asking for it for one purpose, but he may should know that, yes, I do need it, but not for the purpose I'm asking. And so I worked through that, and then he said, now you got to seek my face so that I can tell you things about it that you don't need, things about this need that you don't know, things about how you might receive it, or how your mindset got to change, or how you got to ask and not ask amiss. And then after that, you can't just assume I'm going to give it to you because I said it. You have to knock until the door is open. And if you knock and keep knocking, knocking means that you're going to come back before me and you're going to spend time in my presence over this. And as you're knocking, you're just assuming I'm going to give it to you. No, you can't do that. You keep knocking until the door is open. And every time you knock, every time you come to me and you ask me another question about it, I may have more to give you about it. And when I give you more, by the time you get what is already yours, because I said I would give it to you, by the time you get it, you will never lose it. You will never give it away, and so I'll throw it away. You will know that it came from my hand to your hand, and you didn't get it just by asking me for it and expecting me to drop it in your lap, you see. Well, he took me back to the scriptures to say, I want to come in to the scriptures with you. I'm promising things to you, and when I promise, I want to come into you. As you go back in Matthew, you begin to see things that I said. When I say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. You and I need to, let me walk in there with you. Let me not just give you information in your head. Let me walk in there with you and tell you what I mean, because what I want to do is I want to arise in your life. I want to be a part of everything you do. I want to be a part of every decision you make. I want to make your life and my life so inextricably interwoven until my life become your life and your life become my life. And if you allow me to do that, then you will see the power of heaven come on earth as it is in heaven. So we bless you tonight in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. I again say the purpose of this discourse, before getting into verse chapter 8, is that the Lord wants to come in and be a part of your life. He doesn't want you to know about him. He doesn't want you to ask him for things and then just expect him to give it to you, and you don't know what to do with it. You lose it shortly after you get it because it's not a part of it. He wants to push you beyond where you are. I came into the sanctuary not knowing how to serve food for 25, 30 people, not knowing how to fix a menu, not knowing literally how to clean 30 rooms and still be ready to minister to the people. Many of the things that I was pushed out of my comfort zone. My comfort zone is education. My comfort zone is standing before a classroom of college students and teaching the knowledge that I'd gained in years of training. My comfort zone is literally sitting at my computer, planning lessons and what have you, even though I still do that with the School of Ministry, but God has to come in. And so that's what this is all about. Consider it, please, that the things that you do know, let him come in and teach you different things. He might let you do it the same way, but at least you and he have had a conversation about it, and he knows that he's part of that part of your life also. As we come back to the book of Matthew, we walk through chapter 8, come to chapter 8, there is such a wealth of kingdom information in these chapters. And they're not short chapters because they carry the way that they're ordered and organized. There are so many things in each chapter that helps us to see what was Christ doing when he came to the earth. You see, when he came to the earth in Matthew, when we see that John the Baptist opened the way for him to come, and then all of a sudden he shows up, and the Lord of the universe, because we call him that, he wanted John the Baptist to baptize him. And then when he said, when he started his ministry, and he said, "Follow me, and I'll make the fishes of men," and every one of the chapters tell us that he was like boots on the ground, bringing the kingdom on earth to us as it was in heaven. And so if you go back through chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, you will see him, especially beginning around chapter, the end of chapter 3 and beginning chapter 4, you'll see him as boots on the ground and said, "This is where you are. This is what it's all about. I am the one that has come down from heaven to bring you the truth of what has already been written, but I'm bringing it to you so you can enter into it in the Spirit, by the Spirit, and live it out through the Spirit. And this is the only way. You may do it your way, but this is what the life I'm bringing into the earth, and it is a life that I'm calling you into." So we got to chapter 8, and he began, after he had taught all through chapters 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, starting at 3, the end of 3, and moving into 4, 5, 6, and 7, then we get to chapter 8, and we see there not just his teaching, but he was teaching by action. It was almost like he called the people to sit and hear him, and then he began to teach, and then after he taught, he came down and began to walk it out, who God is in the earth, and the principles of heaven he walked out. And in chapter 8 it says, when he had come down from the mountain, to great multitude follow him. And then we went through last Sunday night how he began to heal them, because Jesus Christ came to heal. He was wounded for our transgression. Chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And so he began to let us know that he was here, and that was one of the purposes of his coming, was to heal. And even his death and resurrection perfected that healing. And so we see him healing the leper. The leper came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me whole." And that's, again, the leper came to him, the leper worshiped him, and the leper asked for what he wanted. He didn't say, "Heal me." He said, "If you can, you can make me clean," because that's what he needed, to be clean, because lepers at that time were considered unclean. And then we see him healing the centurion's servant. We see several things. We see him coming in, touching one who had a deadly disease that was very contagious, but he was not afraid to touch. And as I said about Jesus on Sunday evening, He was sad, he wept, he was hungry, he was weary, he was thirsty. But you never see any place in the scriptures where he was sick. And the reason I think that was true was because he said at one point, "The prince of this world cometh, and he has nothing in me." And I believe that because he had nothing in him that Satan could use, he was never sick. And I believe he was saying to us that, "I want to bring you to that place where sickness cannot enter, that no plague can come near your temple." And I believe that he's wanting us to come to him as a healer. I believe the story in chapter 8 was that he is a healer, that was the purpose of his coming to the earth as boots on the ground. As a matter of fact, he said he healed by a touch, okay? He then, when he healed the leper by a touch, then the next thing, when the centurion met him and said his servant was grossly ill at home, he sent his word and he healed them. And there were two things there we ought to note that Jesus responded to. First of all, the centurion came and asked for healing for his servant, Okay, he wasn't asking for himself, for his servant, which gives us to know that we can come to the Lord and we can ask for healing for others, and the Lord sent his word and he healed. I think the things that I do want to say to all of us, please begin to pray for healing. Don't just assume. Don't just let it happen to people, and you don't do anything just waiting for the doctors to give them the right medication and waiting until they get their pills. Yes, go do that. I'm not talking against that. But I think when we hear of our friends and relatives being ill, that we need to go to the Lord and seek him for that, for what to do about that illness. I believe that when we get ill, we need to go to the Lord first to find out what is he doing, what does he want us to know about that illness, so that he can tell us how to pray. The centurion asked for healing for his servant, and the Lord sent his word and healed. The minute that he said the word, the servant was healed at that self-same hour. I think the Lord was giving us that release there, that we can pray for others and he can send his word to them. We don't have to be right where they are, and he can send his word and heal. I think in the leper, he can touch. Sometimes you just may ask the Lord for a touch. Sometimes what would happen if we had a worship time when we just prayed for the touch and just keep waiting for him to come in and touch those that are ill, just believing that he can touch and he can heal. Sometimes we've carried our illness so long, and listen at this, I may be so wrong about this, our illness has such a name. It has such a name in the earth until it's everywhere. So we have to admit that we have that. Yes, the fact is that we do have it. The truth is Jesus Christ is the healer. And so it's almost like the enemy of sickness has decided that I'm going to make this the headlines everywhere so that all people will finally realize I got that illness. All of a sudden, there's diabetes, there's heart failure, there's high blood pressure, there's cancer. And when you turn your TV on and you see all the medications, if you have this and all the side effects, we ought to listen to the side effects. And so what happens is it's almost like it's normal for you to grab a hold of that disease because it's normally in the earth. Now, I'm not saying it won't be. I'm not saying you won't have cancer. Some of my most sainted people under that infirmity. I'm not saying you won't have diabetes because the body is responding to something. But what I am saying, that may be a fact that you have this malady in your body. But let's look at the truth. See, truth and facts are different. The truth is Jesus Christ came to heal, and we might, he may or may not heal, but let's believe that he will heal because that's what he died for. So if we believe that he will heal, let's go to him and ask him. Let's begin to worry him like the woman kept coming, worrying the king, and the king wasn't even saved. And he said, finally, because you worry me, I will answer you. You see, but when we just carry our sickness and our diseases and ignore the fact that Jesus came to heal the sick, and although he may not heal me, he may not heal you, but let's seek him. Let's, first of all, ask him for healing. If you don't ask, the leper asked for what he wanted. If thy will, you can make me clean. All right? He asked. Then you have, after you ask for it, you may begin to seek him to find out what he needs you to pray. Because you see, you may be asked for healing for a back ailment or maybe some infirmity. But the Lord may begin to tell you that infirmity is not what you're to pray for. I'll give you a case in point. I had a situation once where the Lord had given me to walk the city of Whitewater, and all of a sudden I had some infirmity in my knees that I couldn't walk one block. For 5 years, I could not walk one block. So I went to the doctor. I said, I just had to get it taken care of because I was in the early part of my ministry and I needed to do a lot of work. And so they could not find arthritis. They could not find anything wrong with it. I went through the x-rays and everything. And so one doctor said, well, you may have a bone spur on your knee. And if that's what it is, let's take it off. And so I made arrangements to go to the hospital to take it off. And just as I was getting ready to go to the hospital to take it off, a week or so earlier, the Lord said to me, why don't you pray about witchcraft? I said, have you ever thought about praying about witchcraft? I said, no, I haven't. He said, why don't you? And I began to pray right away against that spirit, and immediately my knees got instantly healed. I have not had any trouble with my knees since that date, and I never went to a hospital, never went anywhere. It doesn't happen like that all the time. But by seeking the Lord, he might tell you something that you never thought of, and he might begin to help you to deal with it with him, bring him into the situation, like I'm saying, and let him, as you seek him, you begin to talk to him. He began to walk you through. You might find that some of your physical ailment is based on strong habit patterns of stubbornness and rebellion. Is based on something you did in the past that the Lord wants you to repent of. It may be based on something, some sin that you committed that you completely forgot, that he wants to take you back and let you see that's when that spirit entered. You see, when you seek him, you're seeking him so that you can walk out of this and let him walk in it with you, that as he walks in it with you, the power of heaven comes in it, and it finishes it in such a way that you don't have to deal with that again. And so that will be, and we in this chapter, I think Jesus began to show us that he was a healer. We also see that when he went into Peter's house, he touched his mother's hand. She was sick with the fever. And if you think about someone with a fever, a malady, if you've ever been to a country where they have the malaria, and they just lay around and takes, even when they're healed, it takes a long time for them to recover their strength and to get up. But in this instance, it said he touched her hand, she was healed of the fever, and she was lying sick of the fever, so he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served him. And I don't tell you that Jesus will heal you of all these things. What I'm saying is bring him into it. Let him be a part of it, and don't choose that he won't. Don't choose that he can't. Choose the word, to believe the word, that he is a healer, and that as you come to him for the healing, you are then honoring him. And you see, you dishonor him when you decide that you're going to do it your own way, you're going to do it yourself, and your way is better than what he died for. And so we come to the place where many heal after the Sabbath sunset. And this is on Matthew 8:16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirit with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. And I'm just going to leave that there tonight. I'm not going to leave it without really looking at how Jesus came down as boots on the ground. After his healing, there's something here you need to give attention to. There is a connection between the demonic and sickness. And so as when he told me about my knee problem, it was not all an infirmity. If I had said, and I did say at that time, I just, at my age, I don't know how old I was, many years ago, but, the name arthritis was in the air. It's everywhere, and everybody's got it. So, of course, I'm supposed to have that, you see. And I grab a hold to the fact that I thought that was what was wrong, and that's what I was going to doctors for. And when the Lord began to give me his attention, he came into it, and not only did he tell me it wasn't arthritis, that it was something else from the outside, but he, from that moment on, he has kept me with good knees. Well, I don't know whether he healed what the enemy had put in there, and that was the final healing. We don't know all there is to know about spiritual healing, but here's the only thing I do know. The Lord spoke to me once, and he said, you want to know what healing is? And I said, yes, I do. And he said, healing is a supernatural appropriation of what Jesus Christ has already done. So it says to me that he has finished the healing and he wants us to walk in. And the one thing I want to say, let us all stop dishonoring Christ by doing our own things and thinking our own thoughts in our own way. If we carry sickness and believe that that's the end of it, I don't say it won't be, but I do say, can we talk to Jesus about it? Should we then come to him? It's almost like people come into the sanctuary and say, look, let me take this book and I'll take it and work it, but don't you tell me how to do it because, of course, I can do it my way. That's what we do to Jesus. We come to him and we say, I'm sick, but I'll go to the doctor and get some pills so that I can do the ministry and I won't have this problem. Bring him into it. Although you go to the doctor, I go to doctors, I hope you do too. God gave them a wisdom for the body that we have not been trained in, but they were trained in it. But Jesus Christ knows more about the body because he made us. You know, he died for us, and so he died that we. And that's what he said here. Many who were demon possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. You know, I have a passion and a hungry desire to be like Jesus, don't you? I want to be like him so much so that I want to be able to cast out the demons without going through long rituals of dealing with a demonically possessed person for hours and hours. Now, I will say something about that. I have been with the deliverance ministry, and someone said, you got a deliverance ministry. I didn't know I had a deliverance ministry, but for years I grew up casting out demons and delivering people from demonic oppression. That's how I came into the ministry. I came into it because I thought that was the only way, because, of course, when you find out that there's a person who is influenced by spirit that changes everything that they're supposed to be, and you have that passion, and I was taught in it, and so I just thought that everyone felt the same way. And so I have such a passion for people to be delivered from demonic oppression. However, I learned over the years that you cannot deliver people who are not ready to sell out to the Lord. You can cast the spirit out, but the spirit of the Lord needs to be so in that person's life, and they have to want God more than they want anything else, more than they want a good relationship with people, more than they want religion. They have to be so ready for God to take them through whatever is necessary, because they have to determine, I do not want this spirit in my life anymore. Whatever I have to do, Lord, here am I. Whatever you need to do for me, because I will never leave you if you deliver me. And because so often we spend hours trying to deliver a person. When that person isn't sold out to God, that person has things in his or her life that God can't use when it's done, and the devil knows that. And that person in some way welcomed that spirit, and we as ministers struggle over that spirit. If you ever want to know what a great deliverance, higher purpose of deliverance is, and you come to our sanctuary, there's a book I've written on the Jesus Christ as Jehovah Sabaoth and Kingdom Deliverance. And when I wrote that book, it began to show me the higher level of deliverance. And in order to get there, you got to go down to the foundation and tear down some things that you built up to make you who you are, and then let the Holy Ghost begin to deliver you not only of demonic oppression, but of self and selfish ways. And then when that's done, then you fill that up with Christ, and then Christ, then we will be hopefully like Jesus, who the prince of this earth cometh, and he of this world cometh, and he has nothing in me. And so therefore you will be freed of all those demonic spirits. But what he was showing us here in this passage of scripture, that although he'd done all these healing with a touch, with a word, you know, and then a touch, here he's showing us that he not only came to heal, but he came to deliver. and that he was not afraid of demonic spirit. He had power over them. He had authority over them. And it says to me, let us pray for that power and authority. Let us pray for the kind of power and authority that we can recognize the demonic spirits in our presence. So I just want to say this, and please forgive me if it sounds judgmental. Please forgive me. So much of the what looks like Christianity in our faith, in our midst, turns out to be demonic. So much of it is religious. So much of it is acting like we are in agreement with what the Lord is doing in a group or gathering, and buried down on the inside, there's a spirit operating. It calls for, as I mentioned, my book on Jehovah Sabaoth, the Deliverer, it calls for a higher level of deliverance on the part of the deliverer, the one who is called forth to carry deliverance to his eternal purpose, to his higher purpose. It calls for that person to come into a place with the Lord that there will be nothing in him or her that Satan can use, okay? And then it also calls for to show us how to carry a person to the end of themselves and into deliverance. And so this is, we didn't join a cruise ship, we joined a warship. And then this ship is a workship too. There's work for the body of Christ for rather than forever learning and never coming to the truth, forever trying to get more knowledge. You will get more knowledge as you are pressed out of your ways of doing things. We've learned how to have our quiet time. We've learned how to go into our prayer closets. We've learned how to even walk in our prayer closet. We've learned how to lay in the presence of the Lord and then bask in his presence. We've learned that. We've been there. The Satan knows. We've learned that. We need to press past that and start pressing into a place where he knows that we are going somewhere. We don't know where we're going, but we know we're going. We're following Jesus, and where he's going, that's where we're going. And as we do that, he gives us power and authority to fight the enemy. And that's why Satan loves it when we spend our time doing the things we always do. We spend our time in our prayer closets. We spend our time praying the same prayer. We spend our time learning how to worship. We spend our time learning those things that we're comfortable with doing rather than pressing past. Well, I say to you, when Satan knocks on your back door like he has done mine and dare you not to let him in, you will be glad to get out of your comfort zone. You will cry out for the Lord like Jehoshaphat did, asking him, what do I do? And letting him know that he's the only one that can help you. And in order for him to help you, he has to take you beyond what you know and help you to do that which you don't know. And we might as well get used to that by taking the Lord into everything we do. If you can clean house well, take him into when you're cleaning a room, and he'll show you things to do that you've never done before. If you can cook a meal well, take him into when you're cooking and let him show you how to put a little spice different, and it'll be changed. Take him in, like I say, I'm a writer. When I write a book, I don't know what I'm going to write. I bring him into when I'm planning a program for the body. I don't know what I'm going to do. Take him into that. When you go shopping, take him with you. Before you go, begin to let him guide you and lead you where to go and what to do. I still say we try to commonalize Jesus, that we can't breathe unless he tells us what to do. I don't mean that. It's common for us to say, I'm waiting on the Lord to tell me what to do. There are things that we should do, but there are common things that you should have grown in such a way with the Lord that he leads you and guides you. I'm not saying don't do that. Let him lead you and guide you, but be so sure that he is showing you at this moment where he wants you to go. He might have guided you this way before or guided you there before, and so you are thinking, I'm letting him guide, but are you asking him now to come into this place where he's guiding you? Because he might want to get your attention that his guidance is going to take you into a deeper place, you see. I think that's what I'm saying tonight. The Lord is saying to the church, and he wants you to listen so he can hear what you're going to say, what he's saying to you for you to do it. Well, we covered tonight, and I thank God for those of you that were patient. I don't know what it seems like I went off course tonight. I hope I didn't. I hope there's someone out there that will choose to practice this for me along with me, is that all the things that you do, whether you can do it well, you've been doing it a long time, bring him into it and walk it out with him. That's a new learning experience, because I can say, Lord, I want you to go with me and clean it and make it up my bed, but it's a learning experience when you don't just say that, but you let him show you how to tuck the pillow differently or how to set it differently. And when he does it, you've never done it that way before, and you decide, I want to turn it back to the way I normally do it because it looks good there, but maybe it doesn't look as good, but maybe there's a reason for him cocking it that particular way. And so I believe that's a turn that he wants us to take for this word of God, that he would then let us start bringing him into everything. We'll be back with you on Sunday night, and he brings us another lesson before we end chapter 8. It's a very good lesson. He'll talk to us about the cost of discipleship, and I'll tell you, when I read that, and you'll probably read it before I get to it, I'm wondering, what did this man do now when he said, follow me and let the dead bury the dead? What is he saying, you know? What is he saying to us when he says that? And then after that, when the wind and the waves obey Jesus, and the disciples are very surprised. This is such a wonderful experience, just seeing Jesus for the first time teaching and instructing us the way that he'll have us to go and guiding us with his eyes upon us. And I think that's what's different about the way that we have been reading the Bible. We've been reading it for information. We've been reading it so that we can learn. We may say we've been reading it so we can follow. But here, I think what the Lord is saying, we need to read the word and enter into what he is saying to us here. From the word now, what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and for the church, and then listen very carefully to what he's saying to you. That's what I believe the Lord is saying. Different. It's not different. This is a message that he brings us to for chapter 8. We're going to talk on Sunday night. We'll be with you on Sunday evening, same place, same time. 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. We're going to be here, and hopefully we'll finish chapter 8 of Matthew so we can go into 9. I'm just so excited. I think every chapter is going to bring us into a depth and a breath with the Lord that we've never been before. And I'll ask you, if you will, by the Spirit, would consider. Don't forget us here in Whitewater, Wisconsin. You can always call us at 262-473-7472. If you'd like to have one of our books that we talk about, we talked about Zion tonight. We talked about Kingdom Deliverance, and there are a number of us going through Repentance and Remission. Repentance, Forgiveness, and Remission from Past Sins, so that we can enter into our apostolic work. It's a powerful book. God is giving us such revelation as we come under our prayer veil, praying those prayers into our lives. And so we have, as the Lord said to me once, as we began to build here, everything that pertains to life and godliness, if you needed or wanted it, just call us and we'll be glad to mail to you anything that we have in our bookstore. I believe will set anybody free. We love you tonight. God is a good God, and we want to ask you if you will consider coming into a place with him and covenant that you're going to allow him into every aspect of your life, every decision, every place where you are. Then God can arise and his enemies will be scattered, and then you can move into a higher purpose of God. Father, we honor you tonight, those that are listening. The Holy Spirit is real in the earth. Let that one then embrace the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to teach all of us, beginning with me, how to let God arise and his enemies be scattered, how to bring God into every aspect of our lives so that we'll never stay the same, but that we'll be always moving from glory to glory. We present ourselves as we present our listeners tonight, even those that were listening to archives. We, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord, our Master, Savior, and our King, and I ask you, Lord, to cover them with the blood and build a wall of fire around them so that as God arises in their life and the enemies scattered, you'll cover over them so much that you will then be able to help them to walk out every aspect of their lives with your leading and guiding. We ask it in Jesus' name. We thank you for the answer. Amen. So we say tonight, may the Lord bless you, and we will be back with you on Sunday evening. Thank you for listening.